Good morning, good morning, good Sunday morning. I hope somebody is in this house that wants to praise and worship the Most High God, El Elyon. I got a few people over here that look like they're ready to worship right here, and just a few over here, but not quite everybody. My friend Jenny, she's ready to worship, got her hands in the air. All right, come on, go ahead and stand to your feet and assume the position. Are you ready to worship the Lord? And think about what I'm asking you. We're not here just to sing pretty songs, right? Or, you know, lovely songs that have a fast beat. Are you here to minister to the Most High God? You yourself, are you going to lift up hands? Are you going to sing praises? A lot of times people will ask me, Sharon, why do you look up? I look up to keep it between He and I. I look up because I lift up my eyes to the mountains from whence cometh my help. I look up to remember that He is God and I am not. It keeps me in my rightful place. Lord, I look up because heaven is His throne. The earth is just His footstool. I look up because, hey, my redemption is drawing nearer today than it was yesterday. Praise God. Are you ready to worship? Are we going to worship together and see if we can lift the roof? You know what my goal is around here? My goal is to cause Father God to get up off of His throne, looking down, seeing what His kids are doing again. Oh, there they are again. They're worshiping me. They're lifting holy hands. They're shouting hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is upon them. That's all I have for this morning. Welcome to church. Welcome to U-Turn World Ministries. If you are visiting with us, we welcome you here. We are so glad that you're here to be a part of the family of God. You know how we do it on this first one. If you'd get up and please go encourage somebody. Go encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Praise is the breakthrough.
Shaken, I will remember that you are good, your love endures forever. So I will sing, cause praise is the breakthrough. Cause praise is the breakthrough. You are my light, you are my strength, you are my song of deliverance. You are my hope, you are my joy. In every season, you're there when I fall, you're there when I rise. I am yours. Cause praise is the breakthrough.
the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that is within me, bless his name. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that is within me.
Today. We have nothing to do here if you're not here. Or we're just looking for your presence. And how can we make much of you? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, the blood. You know, the Bible says that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. And the law of God, you've got to understand, within the law is perfect and the law is righteous. Within the law, there's nothing wrong. Everything that God tells us to do within the law is just and perfect and right. But what the law does is the law offers no solution. What the law does, the law points out what's wrong with you and it points out what's wrong with me. But it offers no solution. The law points out that we were all liars, that we were all adulterers, that we were all fornicators, that we were all murderers. The law points out everything that's wrong with you and I. But the only problem within the law is it offers no solution. And that's why that when we preach the gospel, the law and grace must be preached. Must be preached. Because when the gospel is preached, we get too many people that want to just go one side all grace and then one side all law. But you've got to have the law in order to truly appreciate God's grace. Without the law, then you don't truly appreciate the sacrifice, the blood that was shed. And the law that points out what's wrong is necessary. It must be preached. There must be a conviction over sin. There must be coming to a place of recognizing that I was wrong and broken. And I remember when I come to Jesus Christ, the little bitty man, he preached the law to me like I ain't ever heard in my life at that time. And at that time, I was like, I'm going to hell. And rightly so. I'm going to hell. That was the first time I'd ever thought about it. And I had no argument. But that opened up the door, and he said, now let me tell you the good news. He said, and you know what? It's kind of like, don't raise your hand, but if anybody in here has ever been in prison, and I know at least one or two have, Or if you've ever been to court, you ever been nervous about going to court? And you go to court. Remember one time I was looking at court, they was looking at giving me 30 years. I was looking at 30. And when I was walking into that courtroom, I wasn't real excited. And you know what? I deserved it. I deserved it. But when that judge looked at me and he said, "We're going to give you 2 years probation," all of a sudden that judge was the best judge I'd ever come across in my life. Amen. He was a good judge. Amen. I liked him a lot. Amen. And that was a good day. Amen. That was a real good day. But you know, something happened in the midst of that that caused me, even when I was a heathen, to recognize I didn't need to be back in that same courtroom again. I didn't need to be back in that same courtroom again because I recognized what just happened, and I didn't need to be back in that same courtroom again because I may not catch that judge in such a good mood the next time. Does that make sense? Everybody understand what I'm saying? Amen. And you and I, when we come to God, and when we see the law, and the law is just, and the law is perfect, and the law is right, and the law is holy, and then when Jesus Christ come in and paid that sin, and he drops that gavel and he says, "Paid in full through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ." He said, "You're not getting the sentence that you deserve." That's what makes it good news. And somewhere on the inside of us, there should be something on the inside of us saying, "You know what? I'm not in a hurry to get back to this place again. I'm not in a hurry to have to stand in this same situation again." Why? It's because of the goodness of the judge and because what you've been given a reprieve on that should cause you to want to serve God with absolutely everything that you've got. You don't want to go back there. Sing that again, Sharon, if you would, please.
Oh, what love, no greater love. Grace, how can it be that in my sin, yes, even then, he shed his blood for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. And something has to break.
Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. I feel it in this room. And tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Oh, oh. Something has to break. Break, I believe you'll get me to it. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe that you will do it right now. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break and tear down every lie. Set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Something has to break.
Let's go to that bridge.
Believe it.
But something has to break. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe that you will do it right now. But something has to break. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe that you will do it. Feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, is when you have your way. Something has to break, and something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break, and something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. And something has to break.
Has to.
You know, we got the promise. Oh, sorry, Sharon. I want to share a story with y'all real quick. I was talking about this the other day with a couple guys. Several years ago, I went down to a church in Alabama and went down there and preached. I don't know, it was a 3-4 day revival. I can't remember how many it was. But it was an old Baptist church, great people, man. Still talk to those people to this time. But the church we went down there to, they were celebrating their 102nd year anniversary. And this is Southern Baptist Church, Southern as Southern can be, as Baptist can be. And you put Southern and Baptist together. Amen. So we go down there. And I really believe on the way down there, I was praying that the Lord laid on my heart to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know that's got to be God when you're going into the South and into a Baptist church. And great people. And they were hungry. The pastors and stuff was hungry. And the first night, I went in and I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had an altar call for people that wanted to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. One of the deacons come down there just so it wouldn't be completely empty. It was a mercy call. He felt mercy, and he come down there just so somebody'd be at the altar so I could have somebody to pray for. And I went home, went to where we were staying that night, and I was praying. And I said, Lord, did I miss it? And the Lord spoke to me at that time, and he said, my word is a hammer that smashes the rocks into pieces. Continue swinging. I said, all right. So the next night we went back and we preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit the second night. And there was a few more people that come down to the altar. Well, during the next day, even though that night there wasn't a lot that happened, but during the day, the next day, a lot of people that wouldn't come down to the altar started calling the pastor and wanting me to come by their house and pray for them. So we probably went by that day before the next service, probably went by and prayed for 10 or 15 different people in 10 or 15 different houses. And when we went to church that night, the church was full. I mean, it went from maybe 40 or 50 people to over 150 people in that church. Other churches had come, and I preached the third night on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that night, that altar got rushed. My wife was there. She remembers it. But that altar got rushed, and there was people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was people from different denominations that the presence of God was falling upon them, and they were speaking in tongues, and they started prophesying. As a matter of fact, one of the Baptist deacons walked down there, and he said, I've been sitting in that chair right there for 21 years, and I ain't ever seen nothing like this happen in this old country church. Amen. Seen a power of God move and people getting back. And then people started, prophesying, getting a few people got slain in the spirit. The power of God was moving. But it happened so many times. We judge what we're doing by our first word, our first song, our first prayer, or our first message. And God had to tell me that day, keep on swinging. My word is a hammer that smashes the rocks into pieces. Sooner or later, something's got to break. Sooner or later, something's got to break. Amen. And too many times in our life, we don't stay there until something breaks. We give up if it don't break as soon as we want it to break. We don't stay there. Your job and my job is to keep on speaking the word. Your job and my job is to keep on praying. Your job and my job is to keep on reading the word. Your job and my job is not to take our focus off the promises of God. And my job, because let me tell you, sometimes it's God checking me, not me checking them. And when I looked at that in that night, I walked away from there and I felt like a failure because I didn't get the results that I thought should have happened when I teached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But sometimes God's just going to find out how faithful you're going to be about what it is that God's told you to do. Amen. Because so many times we want to go in there and we think it ought to be this, and God wants to see how faithful you're going to be with what God has given you to do. At that time, it wasn't about them. Now it's about me. It was about if I was going to do what God told me to do, or if I was going to change something up because I didn't get the breakthrough that we thought we should have got the first night. And so many times we throw the plan of God to the side because we don't see the result we want to see when we want to see it and as fast as we want to see it. Your job is to be obedient to God. And I don't care how many times you hit your head against the wall. I don't care how hard it looks. I don't care how tough it looks. Because God may be using that situation in order to strengthen you a little bit. He may be using that situation in order to give you enough strength where next time, amen, that you don't quit so quick. That you don't stop so quick. So your job, and that's out of the book of Isaiah, my word is a hammer. Is it Isaiah or Jeremiah? Jeremiah. My word is a hammer that smashes the rocks into pieces. Your job is to grab a hold of the hammer and swing it. Amen? That's your job. And swing it. That's why, you know what, this Christian walk, it's tough. It is a tough walk. It is a tough walk. And when I say a tough walk, I'm not saying it's hard to get saved. No, that's easy. That's the easy part. That's the easy part, getting saved. The hard part is becoming a God pleaser rather than a man pleaser. Amen. The hard part is taking your eyes off what man thinks about you and putting them on what God thinks about you. Amen. The hard part is not trying to do things that make man happy, but doing things that make God happy. Amen. That becomes the hard part. Amen. And then all of a sudden when you get born again and saved, then you got to start separating the gods that you serve. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us, Ronnie, that the first shall become last and the last shall be first. What is the first shall become last? Because my first nature was my sin nature. That was the nature of me that was all about me. So when I get born again and saved, that's my second nature. Amen. That was the last nature. I was born a sinner first, and then when I got born again and saved, my first nature has now got to be put behind my new nature. The first shall become last, and my born again nature shall go to the front. My sinful nature puts behind, and my born again nature goes to the front. That's what I believe that verse means. The first shall be last. And the last shall be first. Amen. God bless y'all. I love that song, Bethany. Praise the Lord. Amen. What are we doing next? Do it.
Everybody stand to your feet. We're going to sing about the holiness of Almighty God. He says for us to be holy as He is holy, as only through Jesus.
Circle.
that song when Sharon sings that song. Talking about the temple being filled with His glory. She went on and she said, out of the book of Isaiah, He says that I am a man unclean. And I want you to realize something here. And I want you to grab a hold of the false teaching that goes on in the world out there. The world will tell you all of these wonderful things. But the closest that Isaiah was to God was when he was seeing in the throne room right here. The closest he was, and he seen the awe of God. He seen his temple filled with glory. He seen the angels flying around, crying out, holy, holy, holy. He seen the train. He said it filled the temple with glory. His train filled the temple. And then he says, yet here I am, a man unclean. Let me tell you what truly happens when you get closer to God. You will start seeing your wretchedness and your uncleanness. That's what you'll see. And then His glory is truly something to speak of. Because it's not until we see, not until I see, how broken, how sinful my heart is sometimes, even though I'm born again and saved and filled up with the Holy Ghost. It's there. It's there. And we think it's not. Maybe y'all are not. But I know it is in me. Amen. And when I hear a song like that, I can't help but come down to the altar and say, my God. It breaks me. But the good news of it is this, that His train filled the temple. Y'all have heard me say it many times, every time Sharon sings this song, that in the days of old, when a king would conquer a nation, they would take the train or the cape of that king, and they would tie it to the victorious king's cape. So if he went through and if he conquered 10 nations, they would tie 10 trains or 10 capes to his train. And as he'd walk through town, as he'd ride his horse through town and the victory parades and everything were going on, he would drag all those capes or all those trains behind him, showing each one of the nations that he had conquered as a way of victory. So even in the midst of Isaiah seeing into that throne room and seeing that he was a man unclean, but he could still say, but your train filled the temple. That goes to show that every battle that God has ever fought, He has won. That God has taken the train off of death. He's taken the train off of hell. He's taken the train off of separation. But here's what you and I have got to understand. That is not for everybody. Because if you are not born again and saved, you've not been set free from the bondage of sin and the future of eternal torment in hell. And that's why Isaiah could look into that throne room and being as sinful as he knew he was, but he could look and see, but your train, your victory over sin, your victory over death, your victory over the grave, he took the train of every one of them. Amen. And he could sing and he could write that because he knew within himself he was unclean. But within the victory that God has given him, he was washed and he was cleansed by the righteousness of God. Sing that last part, you're trained.
Welcome to U-Turn. Guys, if you're with us this morning, thank you. And thank you guys for leading us into an awesome time of worship. I think this is something, I think God delights in this. I think when he sees his children coming together and worshiping him, because that's what he wants. That's what we were made for. And so I love this. And so, guys, I'm going to run through some of the stuff that we're going to be doing throughout the week really quickly with our announcements. So as you guys know, we have weekly Bible studies morning and at night. We throw some prayer in with that. Have some awesome leaders that come and do that. And so there was actually something, I kind of like to share what we talk about, but this week there was something God was kind of pressing on my heart. So there was a song that I hadn't heard in a while, but it talks about the love that God's given us to share that with others. Let me never keep this to myself. And then it goes into a phrase talking about, Lord, if my feet grow tired, if my heart grows weary. And I was just thinking, you know, after the intensity of the volleyball, football, every other game that I was able to go to this week being with youth, which at this point, I think I'm representing like four or five different schools. So like if you guys play each other, that's going to be a, I'm just gonna awkwardly stand on like the 50-yard line. I was just thinking, not just for one day, I was like, man, God, like, there's so much going on. There's all this craziness. Like, is this what you want me to do? Is this worth it? Like, is this all you? And just thinking of that verse, Galatians 6:9, like, do not grow weary in doing good. And I'm like, well, God, like, that doesn't mean I'm not going to get tired, because I get tired a lot. But it's a reminder that when I do, to come back to you. Because we do know that when we do that, like, every conversation, every worship song, every sermon, every hello to someone, that matters. And so for me, I'm like, God, let me come back to you. Let me not to keep that to myself. And so anyway, guys, that's just a moment that was kind of on my heart this week. Besides our Bible studies, we also have our food pantry coming up, not this week, but next week, if I'm correct. No, it is this week. If I ever say that wrong, it's still happening. So just make sure it's still going to, the truck will still show up. So guys, if you want to volunteer or be a part of that, we usually get started on one or two. It's a huge part of the community. We also have something special happening with the ladies, which I misinterpreted at first. It is a trip on October 1st to Canton, correct? Yes, and it's an outing. Originally, I thought it was like a camping thing. So when you were telling me, I was like, oh, they're going into the wilderness. Because I don't know where that is or what. I was like, oh, and so whenever Chris told me, and then I had to look at it, they're like, no, it's like a flea market. I was like, oh, that's kind of just as intense. But anyway, this is happening, 6:30, guys. The church, people are leaving from the church, or you can meet there, correct? And I used to go to flea markets and farmers market all the time. There's always that guy with, like, the salsa that you really like, the guy in the back that's, like, in the shady thing, and you're like, all right, that's Joe. Yes, it's literally, he knows. So that's who you need to find. Another thing, guys, we're doing is that our women's home, our ministry there, is doing a live auction this week, correct? This weekend, Saturday, yes, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., as Morgan talked about on Thursday, guys. There's all these things going on throughout the week. Food, events, bounce houses. Does not say for the children, so adults, possibly. No, probably not. Okay. Vendors, food, guys, it's going to be a big thing. I know some volunteers were already getting signed up outside. There is a sheet on that table. I'm sure you guys could still use some more. That would be awesome. So, guys, come and support that. I know some of our people from the church are already coming, so be there if you can. That would be awesome. And on top of that, we do have, on the 24th, we have Breckenridge. I know you guys had Polunsky this weekend, and as you guys have talked about, that's an awesome thing. Some great things happened there. And so, guys, be praying for this next one on the 24th with more people going in. I think Clayton and Darren are still there right now. And so, yeah, guys, that's a huge part of our church, Prism Ministry. So many lives are changed. And so keep that on your heart and be praying. And I think that is it. Should be good. Oh, well, kind of it. One more thing. My bad. Guys, our live prayer, which we did this last Thursday, it is going to be, just a reminder, it is going to be a weekly thing. So if you are free or if you're at work and you're neglecting your responsibilities, around 12 p.m. is when we are starting on that. And so we had a lot of people come in on that from all over the world, some connections with people that maybe we hadn't seen in a while. And so that's a big deal. So be tuning into that. And so now we're good. That's it.
Yeah, that live prayer, check it out also, because I'll bring one or two people in with me. I know, a lot of y'all working during the day and stuff, but if you get a chance and we get it scheduled out to come in and sit in with us on that live prayer, I usually have myself and two other people, and we just pray, and that live prayer that we did that was supposed to only last 30 minutes went for about an hour and a half. And had over, just our first one, had over 600 views on it, amen? So I say that, not to be, but people, that goes to show that people want prayer. And it opened up doors. We got invitations. I know we're going to be planning a trip to go back to Haiti spring or summer of next year. So if you want to be a part of that, it opened up a door going back into India. People were watching our prayer in India. And inviting us to come back to India, go over there and minister the gospel, preach the gospel. It opens up doors pretty much everywhere. So, and if you want to be a part of that, get a hold of me sometime coming in here, being a part of live prayer. And we just go in there and people just start rolling in and sending their prayer requests. And it turns into an awesome time of prayer and ministry. Amen. So that's always a good time. And the prison, I was down at the Polunsky unit yesterday. I did the Saturday service down there. And that service there, prisons are, I say this often, but getting back to normal. Down at the Polunsky unit, I preached on what they call the G4 side yesterday. The G4 side is the side where these guys have not earned a right to be on the other side. You got an A side, you got a B side. At the Polunsky unit, in about 90% of the cases, to make it to the A side, you've had to been locked up a minimum of 10 years. And you've had to locked up, you've had to pretty much minimum of 10 years. That's kind of saying you've got through all your wanting to fight, wanting to be rowdy, wanting to do all that stuff. Now you've kind of earned the right to be on this side. JR was over here. JR is now leading the service on the B side. Yeah, he's leading the service on the B side. So anyway, had a good time visiting with him. That was back to normal there for the longest. They was only letting us minister to about 20 or 25 people on that side. G4 side, these are people that are, in gangs, just fighting, can't play well with others, you know. And so we was in there yesterday and had a powerful service. They finally lifted the COVID restrictions off of where it can only be 20 people in there. That service is always smaller. It's usually about 100 people in that one. There's about 100, maybe a few more yesterday. And then Clayton and Darren are down there today doing the A side, which is the big service. Usually in that service in the Polunsky unit, there'll be between about 300 or 400 people in there. So it's always good to go down there. So I challenge everybody, if you get an opportunity to go in, we'll be at the Breckenridge unit this coming week, which will be Saturday. I like going to the Breckenridge unit because it's a 6-month program. It's actually called the Safe P. And what that is, these are people that have violated their parole, violated probation. Instead of sending them back to prison, they send them back over here. They've had a dirty UA. They messed up. They done something. They send them back over here for a 6-month stay. Try to get them back in line. I really like hitting the Safe P's, and I'll tell you why. Because you're dealing with everybody. You're dealing with people that are first time down, and you're dealing with people that it's their fifth time down. But with this is everybody that you deal with, they are getting out of there. They're getting out. Some of them are getting out in 2 or 3 days. Some of them just got there. They got 6 months. Some of them got 2 months left. Every single one of them is getting out, and you really, really get to pour into these guys and really about getting on a solid foundation before they get back out of there, not doing the same things that they've been doing to get back in there. Amen. So if you hadn't got your volunteer status, if you want to go in there, I challenge people to do that. I think there's something everybody should do. I think everybody should go on a mission trip. And I know everybody says that, hey, we got a mission field right here in our own backyard. Yes, we do. We do. But the main thing that I get out of going on a mission trip is how blessed we are here in America, no matter how much people gripe about it. Amen. I mean, blessed, truly, truly blessed. Amen. And how hungry people in other parts of the world are for the word of God. Amen. So I challenge everybody to challenge yourself to do that. Amen. We're going to get ready to do our offering today. And here's how we do our offering. All right. If you got a cash, you can put it on an envelope. There's an envelope on the seat in front of you. You can drop it in that envelope. Walk it down here, drop it in the bucket. If you got check, you can make it out to UTWM. Walk down here, drop it in the bucket. If you're giving online, you can go to the donate now button. But here's what I want you to understand, all right? When you give at this church, you'll never hear a message about us trying to guilt you into giving, promising you that if you give, you're going to get 100-fold return. You give because you love Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus, keep your money. Amen? If you need to pay your rent, keep your money. If you got a car payment due, keep your money. Amen. If your kids need food and they need clothes for school, keep your money. Amen. Take care of your household first. Amen. You take care of your household. Tithe into your family. Amen. You do that first. Take care of your family first. Amen. Everybody hear me on that. Amen. You make sure that your wife, that your kids, you make sure that you got gas to go backwards and forth to work. You take care of those things first. Amen. But if you can, you got anything, then you give. You give. Why you give? Because you love the Lord. That's why you give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. That's why he gave. Amen. So that's our message here. You give because you love Jesus. If you give any other reason outside of that. You can't buy his love. Amen. Can't do it. Amen. So God bless y'all. Like I said, if you're making out a check, make it to UTWM. You're giving online. God bless you for everybody that gives online. We love you. Amen. Everybody's here. Y'all know how we do it. We don't pass the buckets around. Walk down here, slap somebody a high five, drop it in the bucket. Amen. God bless y'all. Go ahead, Miss Sharon. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord God. Father God, we don't have the words to describe you, Lord God, your glory, your mercy, your grace, your goodness, Lord God. We love your words, O God. Father God, we thank you that you hold our hearts in your hand, O God. That, Lord God, that you promised that you would lead us and guide us into all truth and righteousness. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the desire that, Lord God, the people in the sound of my voice, Lord God, have to give back. Lord God, all we have is what you've given us, God, and it's all yours, Lord God. Lord God, we know that souls will be won. We know that the word of God is more powerful than the word of the world. We know that, Lord God, people are being snatched out of the fire. We know that, Lord God, and we thank you for it. We bless you for it, and we praise you, Lord God. We exalt you, we magnify you, and we bless all those who agree with this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Timber birthdays, y'all go ahead. Hey, and don't make me. Hey, you know what happens on birthdays? Everybody's like, you going to sing happy birthday day? You going to sing happy birthday day? It's my birthday. And then when I say, come on down here for happy birthday, they don't want to come down here. So if you had a September birthday, come on. Or if you got one coming in September, come on. When's your birthday, Byron? Today. Oh, anybody else got a today birthday? So Byron, since today is your birthday, guess what? You get to lead the birthday song. Come on up here, Byron.
Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday to all y'all. Happy birthday to all y'all.
I'm going to clean that up. Hey, wait. We do have this lovely young couple that they just celebrated this past week on the 13th, their 25th wedding anniversary. So because some of our church family out there didn't get to see that and be a part of us wanting to bless you guys and telling you that's a big deal, we get to sing happy birthday to you and your bride. So come on up. And that happy anniversary, all right? Hang on. Because see, Miss Clover, she got out of here She goes, y'all, I'm gonna clean this up, okay? I'm gonna clean this up, all right? Mally, I'm gonna clean this up, I promise. Okay, so if everybody would stand in honor of our pastor and their 25 years together, it's a big, big deal. So we're all gonna sing happy anniversary. You ready? Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to y'all. Happy anniversary to both y'all. Happy anniversary to y'all. Yay! Yay! I didn't get to do that.
God, praise God. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. All right, kiddos, come on down. Come on down, kiddos. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. What's up, Willie? Come on down. Hey, Bethany, come here and pray over these kiddos this morning, please, ma'am.
All right, dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord. And I thank you for these kids, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, they'll grow up, Lord God, to know you, to know who you are, Lord God. That they'll grow up, Lord God, and they won't be ashamed of the gospel, Lord God, but that they'll be a light in this dark world and that you'll protect them. You'll guard their hearts, Lord God, and that they'll raise up the next generation as well, Lord God, and that they'll just keep the word close and dear to their heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Rest of you in here with me, open up your Bibles. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to start out. I'm going to read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Father God, give me the ability to explain your word, Lord, in a way that it bypasses just a natural hearing, but it goes deep into the heart of every man, woman, and child under the sound of my voice, including myself. And that, Father God, that the power be upon me to explain this word. And Lord God, that the ability be upon me by your Spirit to explain it in a way of how we take this word that was written so many years ago and how it's still applicable to our lives today, how we apply it today. Because, God, there's still the same devil out there that tempts, but we still got the same Holy Spirit that delivers. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, not only that you give me the ability to explain it in a way that's applicable, but give people the spirit of understanding, that they understand exactly what it is that's being said, and that you give them the ability to apply this word. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. The name of my message today would be Choices and Consequences. Amen. Choices and Consequences. And let me explain to you choices and consequences like this. You know, man has the freedom to make choices, but you're not free from the consequences of the choices that you make. Does that make sense to everybody? So we've all got freedom to make choices. All right? But you are not free from the consequences of the choices that you make. Does everybody understand that? Amen? I'll give you a couple examples. I mean, men, ladies, we live in a world today to where men want the freedom to have sex with whoever they want, just about. Women want the freedom to have sex. They want the freedom to be in sexual relationships. All right? They want that freedom. But they don't want the consequences of sexually transmitted diseases. They don't want the consequences of an unwanted child, an unplanned child. So what do people come up with? In order so that we can still fulfill the pleasure and the lust of the flesh, so man comes up with a way to have safe sex. To where you can still do it. I don't want the consequences. I don't want the consequences. I don't want that to be guarded within the parameters of marriage the way God made it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come up with a way that I can still do what I want to do and hopefully avoid the consequences. So man engineers a way to come up with safe sex. Amen? Does that make sense to everybody? So what ends up happening is Adam and Eve, Adam was the same way in the garden. God laid it out. He said, I've set two trees before you, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? And the tree of life. He says, you can eat from every tree. You can eat from every other tree that you want to eat from, but do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of evil, because when you do, you're going to die. And Adam, a couple things, I don't know, either Adam didn't believe God, or Adam didn't believe that he was going to have to pay the consequences right then. Amen? But there was some reason that Adam chose not to obey God. There was a reason there that Adam chose to be disobedient to God. And we are still paying the consequences today based on Adam's decision. You and I are still paying those consequences. So Adam had a choice to make. He could either follow God, obey God, and reap the benefits of being obedient to God, or he could not obey God, all right, and suffer the benefits of being disobedient. And what happened to him? What was that? He was removed from the Garden of Eden. Amen. He couldn't go in. He was separated from God, and he died physically. And death entered into the whole world through who? The Bible says the one man, Adam. So even what Adam did, you and I, we're still paying the consequences from that. And don't think the decisions that you make that your kid are not going, your kid, your children are not going to have consequences either. So you think that you can run through this world, you and I think that we can run through this world and live however we want to live, and then all of a sudden we walk 4 minutes with Jesus and we don't know why our kids ain't acting right. Amen? We get born again and saved, and then we wonder why our kids ain't living like I'm living. Amen? There are consequences to not raising your children up in the ways of God. There are consequences